This is Cheryl Deco, president of Bezalel Books and author of the fiction book, Elizabeth, A Holy Land Pilgrimage, here to remind you to take your vitamins today. That's your Catholic vitamins, A through Z, with Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, like two bad pennies, we're back again. Or maybe two good pennies. I don't know. What do you think?
We're good pennies.
Yes, we are. And welcome back to Catholic Vitamins, everyone, with Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
We are so very glad.
And speaking of Dee.
Yes.
This is Vitamin Dee.
Oh, that's right. We could do a whole show about you.
Let's not. That would be very boring.
No. No, it wouldn't. We could talk about your cookie. Okay, we won't do that show.
This is Vitamin D for dependence. And our guest is Deacon Greg Doyle.
Oh, and with a special guest appearance from his wife, Margie.
Lovely.
Yes, it is.
He's got a lovely wife, too.
Yes. You know, every time that lady introduces you, she always says, with his lovely wife, Dee. She never says, you know, handsome Tom or dignified Tom or whatever.
It's okay. She got it right the first time.
Gosh. You know, this sounds like banter, and some people, not one, several, have talked about how they enjoy our front end, us just being us, bantering a little bit.
Speaking of that.
Yes.
We just had an email from Justin.
Justin, our evangelization expert.
Yeah. He says, I've been tuning in and enjoying the delightful exchange between you and your wife on Catholic Vitamins. As you may have seen, I'm now making the new evangelization
podcast
available via iTunes. That's so exciting.
His little segment is available not only on Catholic Vitamins and on Justin's mm-hmm. website, but also on iTunes. And you know, we had Julie Philby from the Archdiocese of Denver Catholic Register on a few shows ago.
Yes.
We keep getting comments about her participation in Catholic Vitamins.
We're going to have to invite her back again.
Yeah, we are. Or have her as a regular. Wouldn't that be awesome?
So this must be a friend of hers, do you think?
Somebody named Nan.
Oh, yeah. She says, I've been a longtime friend and Julie's a true blessing in my life. And now I have the additional blessing of listening to Catholic Vitamins. Thank you, Nan.
Thank you, Nan. Thank you, thank you. Well, we started off with a new promo by Cheryl Deco of Bezalel Books.
I miss her.
I do too. Author of two books. Thank you for your kind opening words, Cheryl. And we are starting early this week. We're here getting this about midweek. We're starting. And we'll try and wrap up by about Friday or so because we've got very busy days ahead of us. And I will be, God willing, in Franciscan University in Ohio next week, all of next week for a retreat. And Dee, I'm going to give you the week off with pay. And we'll see when I come back if we can get together a show before we take off with some friends and we go to Colorado.
I mean, we're just going boom, 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 one thing after another. It's like, what were we thinking when we made this schedule?
Well, we had some friends who wanted to go see Estes Park in Colorado, where we used to live.
I'm excited to take them up there.
Absolutely. So we'll be starting that long drive towards the end of June. But for now, we're with you. We're with you with vitamin D for dependence, the right kind of dependence. But we have a guest who will be telling us about some of the areas where people struggle with Catholic vitamin D dependence, the right kind of dependence. So we'll be back in a bit.
Hello, Deacon and Dee. This is Jim from Colorado calling in. Just listened to Vitamin C, another great show, and thought I'd put my name in a couple of hats. One, I think D might be for discipline. And I'd love a t-shirt. So I guess I'd have to say extra large if they have to run a size bigger than normal. Thanks for the great work, and I hope you do have a chance to take some time off and relax and get revitalized with all those vitamins. Have a great day. Blessings. Bye.
Well, thank you, Jim from Colorado, for being a good listener, a faithful listener. Thanks for your guess. Discipline is not our vitamin for today, as you've already heard, but keep trying. And yes, we'll put your name in for one of the t-shirts that we have. If you're new to Catholic Vitamins or haven't been around for a couple shows, our daughter has a friend in Missouri, and he has made a number of sample Catholic Vitamins t-shirts just to show us what he could do, and we're offering a few of those on a free basis. We've even had a request, I guess, from Italy. Our listener Joe from Italy sent in an email asking to be put into the basket, and we'll do that. And if you'd like a t-shirt, send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our feedback number 206-350-3789 and just say t-shirt, and Dee will pull some names and we'll get those on the way once we get your size information. Well, our show today is Catholic Vitamin D for Dependence, and along the way we'll be playing some music or sharing some spoken word from an album called Along the Way. This is by the New Celebration Singers. The group is now disbanded, but years and years ago, our friend Bob Derilio from Ohio used to be the leader, the director of this organization, and they made some albums, and they did an awful lot of appearances, and they did some great music. We'll try to borrow a few cuts from this related to the idea of seeking strength from the Lord our God.
Heavenly Father, what a glorious gift you have given us in your Son, Jesus. And yet so often, in times of anger or in times of temptation, we turn away from you. We deny you in small ways, in words and behavior. And sometimes we are even afraid to tell the world we are Christians. Father, give me the strength to be your ambassador to my world today. Help me to walk steadfastly, to encourage others, and above all, to reverence you in my words, my thoughts, and my actions.
Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. My saints and scripture vitamin D for today is Dionysius. It was during Paul's second missionary journey that he brought Christianity into Europe. After he had preached in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, Paul found himself in Athens. During his short stay in Athens, he was asked to preach at a certain forum in the city called the Areopagus. It was a meeting place for a civil council, also called the Areopagus. So Paul went there and began to speak to a number of people assembled. One of the listeners was Dionysius. Dionysius was actually a member of the Areopagite Council, and so was a rather prominent and influential man in Athens. The people of Athens listened attentively to Paul's words. However, when the missionary presented the concept of Jesus having resurrected from the dead, some became indignant and scorned such a suggestion. Others wanted more information. But Dionysius and a few others felt very drawn to the words of Paul and believed. Tradition tells that Dionysius became one of the first bishops of Athens. With the help of Dionysius' pious work and evangelization, Athens ultimately became a very Christian city. In the Orthodox Church, the other named convert at the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, is also considered a saint and shares the October 3rd feast day with Dionysius. Some assert that Dionysius and Damaris were married. The story of Saint Dionysius does not make it into any of the Sunday Mass readings. So if you want to read a story in the Bible, turn to the book of Acts, go to chapter 17, and take a look at verses 16 through 34. While reading this brief story, try to imagine yourself in ancient Athens, listening to Paul preach at the Areopagus, and try to imagine how you would have reacted if you had been there. Much peace and goodness on your day.
Thank you, Teresa Doyle Nelson, for another gift, more learning about the saints. You're a great teacher. Thank you so very much. And after we listen to some music about dependence upon the holy name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, as sung by the New Celebration Singers, Teresa will be back with your dad and a special visit from your mom.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a brother deacon, a deacon from Rochester, New York. His name is Greg Doyle, and Deacon Greg, we welcome you to our program on Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's a joy for me to be with you. I've been aware of your faith support ministry for some time now, mainly because of my daughter, Teresa, who I know you know. And like her, I have great respect for your ministry, and it's just a pleasure for me to be on board with you today.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. We have affection in our heart for your daughter. We do want to find out later in the show, if we have time, if she was as sweet as she seems now all the time that she was growing up. But we'll come back to that.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to talk about that, too.
All right, we're almost coast to coast as we put together this Catholic vitamin D for dependence. And, you know, our earlier vitamins have been things which we almost can't take too much of. Vitamin A for adoration, and vitamin B for the beauty in the church or the blessings that we see in our life. But dependence has two sides to it, and we're going to talk about both sides. Let us get started by asking you to give us some background on you and your growing up years, family of origin, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, I was born in Rochester, New York. I grew up in Rochester. I went to Catholic grammar school and high school. I have two brothers and three sisters. And I enjoyed life by enjoying friends as I grew up, and I enjoyed sports and music. In fact, I started playing the trumpet when I was in the third grade, age 9 years. I was an altar boy, and My father, during World War II, was stationed in Buffalo. He was in charge of prison camps in and around Western New York State, and I used to visit him a lot when he was there, and I'd go into these prison camps and sit and have lunch and be served by prisoners from mainly from Germany. So that was kind of a fun experience as I was growing up. And let's see, the rest of the family. My mother was a very holy and prayerful person. And we, as a family, we said the rosary at the end of evening meals. The whole family always had the evening meal together, and we said the rosary. And my mother came from a family of very prayerful people, and holy people, in my opinion. I have an aunt, Aunt Lizzie, who was actually my great aunt. And I remember her always in a rocking chair and always having a rosary in her hand. And you could always see the beads moving. And as I look back, I believe she used to pray without ceasing, as we're called to do by St. Paul. And then I would say Lent was always an important time for the family. We always went to daily Mass together, and we went as a family. And so that kind of covers the part of my life there.
That's just beautiful. Sounds awesome, and what a good start. Now, as you became a young adult, did you go to college, and what were those years like?
Well, when I finished high school, it was right at the time of the Korean War, and the draft was on my back, more or less, and so I had to make some choices, and I chose at that time to join the Air Force, and I did that with the hope of getting some experience in police work and investigative training, and the reason I wanted to do that is because I wasn't then, but expected to be part of a family business that was involved with private security and investigations. As it turned out, I was able to get some of that security training as well as a great deal of administrative training. So it was worthwhile in many, many ways. But the bad part was that the Air Force took up 4 years of my life. And my father was ailing with heart problems, and he was anxious for me to get involved in the family business. So as a result, my college career was limited to approximately 3 years of credits, many of which were received at night school while I was working. And, of course, later on I attended St. Bernard Seminary for 4 years of diaconate education and formation. I'm sure you're familiar with that process.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell us about your wife.
Well, let's see. My wife's name is Margie. I met her in high school. We met at a dance when we were 15 years old, and we've been going steady ever since.
Awesome. Awesome.
We married in May of 1955 while I was still in the Air Force, and we have five beautiful children, three boys and two girls, and we have nine wonderful grandchildren with that. And I want to mention, too, that Margie is right here in the room with me, and she's involved with the ministry, too. She does a group every week of people who suffer from prescription drugs. So she does a terrific job. It's been great to have her on board.
Okay, we could do a show. We just finished one a few weeks ago on blessings, and it sounds like God has really been good to you and blessed you. I'm sure there's been struggles along the way, but what a great beginning to getting to know Deacon Greg and his wife, Margie, and about your family. Our topic for today, as you know, and what I'd like to lead us into is this discussion on dependence. Such an important area we Americans are, you know, proud, sometimes boastful and arrogant people. And in my own life, I pray the litany of humility often, you know, seeking to depend on God, but I always have a way of pulling the reins back and taking control again. We have this, we have this contradiction between the idea of dependence on God and dependence on something else in our lives. And I know you've been involved with helping people with dependence. Can you begin to speak about that? Tell us about what you've done.
Sure. Let's see. My interest in the effects of addiction started with my family of origin. I happen to be an adult child of an alcoholic. I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
I am, yes.
Okay. Well, so there's organizations that help ACOAs as such. And I also was exposed a lot. I was in business. I was in the security and private investigative business here in Rochester. And I had many business associates and friends who suffered from alcohol addiction. And specifically, I had one friend, a business associate, whose problem was seriously affecting his family and business. And one day his wife asked me if I could help her with the problem in some way. And I ended up doing an intervention, and I did it with the help of my favorite alcoholism counselor, my sister Eileen. She was a counselor in a treatment center in Minnesota, and she helped me do the intervention, and we ended up sending my friend off to treatment in Minnesota. And then when he came back, he and I were so impressed with the treatment he received that we decided to start a similar program in Rochester. And so that's how it all got started. And so we did that, and eventually, because of government regulations and insurance policies and controls coming from that sector, we gradually faced more and more restrictions about using prayer and references to God in our program. So eventually I entered the diaconate training, and I decided to start a program that could get back into the basics of faith and into the need, considering the need to embrace spiritual principles in recovery. In our opinion, my opinion then, and it's still true today, you just can't be in full recovery unless you work on your spirituality. So we need to be dependent on our spirituality and be aware of a dependency there and follow it. So that pretty much is kind of an idea of how I started in this business.
As you were giving us your background earlier, you talked about going into the diaconate, and I'm wondering if your work in the recovery area had anything to do with planting the seeds of becoming a deacon, or were they two separate tracks?
I would say not necessarily. I initially had thoughts of priesthood from the time I was very young. When the church opened the diaconate, it was an alternative ministry for me, and I was immediately interested. My activity in the addiction ministry and the diaconate opportunity came around the same time in my life. Even though it became an excellent fit, I believe I would have pursued one or the other anyway. I was ordained in 1983, 29 years ago, and I'm happy for the diaconate, and it was a good fit. Helped me to establish a more solid spiritual base for recovery. But I think if that didn't happen, if that wasn't available to me, I believe I would have continued to work in that field some way.
Okay, I did share this information with you. I have on my bookshelf two different books on the life of Matt Talbot, and I've read both of them. And I believe your work in Rochester has had some to do, and I saw the name Matt Talbot Ministries. What's that about?
Well, we started the program in, 1981. And when we first started, we were just kind of exploring different ways to minister to different people. And after a few weeks, we decided we needed to have a name. So we all started to pray about that to see what would happen. And one day, I found in my mailbox at St. Augustine's Church, where we were based, a tape of Matt Talbot's life. And I listened to the tape and talked to the group of people about it, and we decided that his life and his name would be appropriate for us. And that's because of the of his holiness in recovery. That's because of the way he pursued recovery from alcohol addiction. Matt Talbot followed the path of 12-step recovery, even though he lived and died years before the idea of 12 steps were formed. He died in 1925, and AA and the 12 steps were formed around 1935. So I just thought it was striking that he living in Dublin in a poor neighborhood, figured out what he needed to do to be in recovery, and it matches the 12-step program. Mm-hmm. If you read about his life, you connect it with the 12 steps, you can just see the similarities. And Matt Talbot, in my opinion, helps us to interpret and understand that important piece of St. Paul's life, where St. Paul talked about living in accord with the Spirit and not yielding to the cravings of the flesh. And St. Paul had a lot to say about addiction and about his own addictions, and talked about what he did to get beyond them. And so I think between St. Paul and Matt Talbot, we found a way to introduce Scripture and the life of a saint into our ministry.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Good models for dependence, for sure. I also mentioned to you that, and this is sort of related to the issue of trying to understand the proper idea of dependence in our lives, I have a book in my office called Compelled to Control, and I have shared it with others because, you know, some people just seem to struggle with control. And when it comes to the addict, they are always trying to demonstrate that they are in control, when in fact the very nature of addiction, whatever the evil side of it is, whatever the addiction is, they're not in control. And I just wonder if you are working with people with other addictions besides alcohol, and you mentioned Margie's work with prescription drugs.
Yeah, so I would say over the years we've worked with almost every addiction or habit that you could think of. And what we teach and what the 12 steps teaches is that God is the solution to every human problem. Jesus taught us that principle, and the saints of our church reinforce that truth. People who are in solid recovery also reinforce that truth. Like if you went to an AA meeting and you listened to the old timers at the AA meeting, you would be listening to people who have been in recovery for a while, and it's clear and undeniably true that God is the answer. That's the message you get. That's what you hear. So at Matt Talbot, we teach that the main addictions are thinking and desire, and that everything else is a sub-addiction. It's the way we think that gets us involved in habit and addiction. and add desire to that. But the sub-addictions like food or alcohol or drugs or computers or gambling or sex or religion or ego, whatever it is, they all come as a result of the way we think, as a result of an attitude. And so in our opinion, everybody suffers from addiction in some way, and everybody in the world needs to be in recovery. And I think that's what our church is all about. That's what our spirituality is all about. God is the answer, and we're simply making that point with people who have a deeper problem with habit or addiction. As far as control is concerned, we teach people who are not in recovery, who are not on some kind of a spiritual path, an authentic spiritual path, those kinds of people will do everything possible to be in control. And that can take the form of control in a direct way, by force or by anger, or it can take the form of manipulation, maybe using tears or lying. When we're not in recovery, we think we need to control because life is chaotic, it's depressing, it's dysfunctional. Fear takes over, and then we do what we need to do to run away from that fear. We get into panic mode, and we want to get rid of the fear, and we know in our hearts and in our minds that if we go to our addiction, we get relief from that fear and that panic. So instead of doing the discipline of recovery, it's always easier to go to the addiction, or at least that's what we think. Recovery is about learning and accepting and trusting that we need to turn our lives and our will over to the care of God. We need to let go, let God. God is the answer. Once you learn that, once you experience it, once you discipline yourself to move in that direction, you let go of control and you let God be in control of your life. So I'm sorry for going on and on and on and on, but you got me going with that question.
Yeah, well, thank you. No, that's wonderful. This is a little bit off of our setup work that we did to get ready for today, but I remember a priest talking about the tremendous increase in the addiction to pornography. And, you know, they hear it a lot in confessions, and we see the effects, you know, in our legislators. There's a story these days about pornography. Have you run into this at Matt Talbot there, and are you working with any people that struggle in that area?
Yeah, actually, we have a special program for sexual addiction, and we've covered all phases of sexual addiction. We continue to do that. For the women, we have a group that we call relationship dependency. Women are, normally speaking, what we found is that women are either sexually addicted or relationship addicted. And they're much more tend to be relationship addicted. Men tend to be sexually addicted. And, so we actually started the Sexaholics Anonymous group here in Rochester. It's one of the largest ones in the country. In fact, it's a model for other SA programs around the country. And it's a growing anonymous program, and it's becoming a very serious problem in this country for sure. So, and with the computer and the access to pornography, it makes it that much worse. But I'd say it's a major part of the work we do here.
Oh, okay, great. Have you written any articles or anything that you'd like to share with us or for us to know about?
I haven't written any readily available articles, but I have written some things, some pieces for our website. You can go on our website, and there's some data there. We have the through the website, we have access by way of email to Matt Talbot. Anybody can write or call, and we certainly would offer ministry, and we have offered ministry over the phone and email. So all that kind of information is in our website.
We'll put links to Matt Talbot in our show notes for today. Could you give us the web address, please, for anybody listening?
Yes, it's www.matttalbotministries.com.
Okay, great. I did find an article that was written a couple years ago in your Rochester Catholic Courier newspaper for the diocese, and I'd like to include that on our website. It talks about your work in the Rochester area.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine.
And do you have any closing thoughts on a healthy dependence upon God as a solution for unhealthy dependence on other things?
Well, I have one major closing thought that I need to give you, because I just got a note from my wife, and she said we have 14 grandchildren, not 9. So I want to clarify that. I don't know where I lost 5 of them, but I'm finding them now. So the other thing is, we had talked before about the what books I might be reading or what I would suggest and so on. And I strongly recommend reading the Bible. It's important to look at and understand the 12 steps and kind of internalize what those 12 steps are saying. And then as you read the Bible, just see how it applies. It's just wonderful to do that. And another book is The Imitation of Christ, because the second step calls on us to build our faith and to stop acting on our own, to stop our insane behavior. And I found that between the Bible and The Imitation of Christ, it helps us to redirect our lives. Not that we're perfect or going to be perfect, but at least we can set ourselves in a direction. And then I think Lives of the Saints, it's always good to read about them. They've all been in recovery in some way. That's why they went from the world into their spiritual life and became saints. Any book that's supported by AA or Al-Anon is very good. And one key piece that I read a lot is, have you ever heard of the Magnificat?
Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah, okay. That's a wonderful book for people, a monthly magazine that gives you the mass readings. You go through the Bible in that book, and there's a lot of commentaries on the readings, and I recommend that strongly for everybody if they want to get on a spiritual path.
All right, so, well, Deacon Greg Doyle, we'll forego teasing about your daughter, Teresa, whom we have in our heart and prayers. And I know Margie is off the phone and just sitting nearby. You might just ask her quickly before we say goodbye if she had any thoughts about prescription abuse or addiction, and maybe you could just relay any answer that she might have.
Okay. Marge, what do you have to say about that?
I have found with the women that I have worked with, a lot of them, they might have maybe a little chemical imbalance with the brain. So it causes a lot of problems in their life. And the prescription drugs just seems to make things worse sometimes. So talk therapy seems to work wonderfully for them. And, you know, the group that I work with, they've become very, very spiritual. It's, they depend on God more than they do on the prescription drugs, which is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. How beautiful. How beautiful. Well, you may have triggered someone to want to reach out to you, Marge, so thank you for that. Deacon Greg, as we move to our close, may I ask for your blessing, please?
Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to reflect on our relationship with you, and I thank you for the gift of Deacon Tom in my life. I thank you for the gift of my own ministry. I ask you to bless my ministry and bless Tom's ministry, and continue to bless those who are suffering in the world from any kind of addiction. And I ask you to do that in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Deacon Greg Doyle and Marge, we thank you both for coming on Catholic Vitamins, and you have been a gift. I know that you will help people who hear this program, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure.
Denise Bossert with a message on vitamin D from Catholic by Grace. It happens in middle school. For most of us, it begins in junior high. We lose the child in us and begin to act like grown-ups, and I mean that in the worst possible way. We start gossiping about one another. We become fixated on what's in, what's hot. Our clothes and our shoes and our book bags are drab and dull. Everyone else has better everything. We are so busy thinking about what's happening outside of the home that we stop being present when we are at home. We begin to lose the contentment of those early days and the genuine joy in life. We have new wants. We look at our kid brother and have a wave of nostalgia. For a moment, we remember what it was like to be a little child, when we used to get a dollar's worth of enjoyment out of every 50-cent experience, when the mom kisses and the dad hugs were given spontaneously and often, when a day went from drab to fab just because dinner was a pizza in town instead of goulash and canned corn, when the disciples asked Jesus the question all middle school kids ask, who will be the coolest of all? Well, actually, it was who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord called a little child to come to him, and Jesus said, unless you turn and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless your love is genuine, your faith sincere, your soul pure, and your joy real, unless your trust is complete, unless you depend on God for everything, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you remember what it was like to be like your kid brother, you won't even make it to the front gate. It's time to reclaim your childhood, not those middle years that really stole the life out of you. The early years, when you knew you had much to learn and experience, and your dad was the most awesome guy in the world. Unless you become the spiritual equivalent of that, you'll miss it all. Forget about being the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, you won't even make it through the front gate. Okay, time for me to stop at Dairy Queen and get the kitty cone, buy that big super ball in the gum machine, and remember to cross myself when I see St. Patrick's Catholic Church. It's time for me to be a kid again. It's time for me to say, Jesus, I'm your little girl, and I know you have the whole world in your hands.
Well, thank you, Denise. Denise, you nail it every time. You are just awesome. We really like your contributions to Catholic Vitamins. And I'm going to come back to that in just a second. But I also want to say a special thank you to Deacon Greg and Margie Doyle, father and mother of Teresa Doyle Nelson. And thank you for a beautiful contribution to Catholic Vitamins. Deacon Greg, I'm going to say that you and I will never know the hearts that we've touched. And with your participation today on our show, you just never know who you're going to help by your words. Or maybe somebody will be inclined to want to look you up on the internet, and we hope so. So if you need help or would like to discuss something, please reach out.
We end up finding the neatest deacon couples, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I just met one last night.
You want to say a word or two about it?
I did. I traveled 90 miles up north to go to a special mass in the town of Winslow, Arizona, for two young ladies who are part of Madonna House, and they were making their another step in their way.
Okay.
They don't take vows like religious orders do. They make promises. This is a lay organization. Anyhow, it was a very, very special mass with Bishop Wall from Gallup, New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And there were even a very small little parish up there, but there were eight other priests there for this. It was just beautiful.
I bet it was.
Anyhow, the deacon who was there with the bishop, I talked to him afterwards and found out he said he likes to refer to himself as the baby deacon of the Gallup Diocese because he was just ordained last October.
Oh.
So I met him and his wife. Very nice.
God bless everyone. Thank you for participating in that beautiful liturgy. I wasn't able to go because I was here at home doing some work. Going back to Denise for just a second, Denise raised a point about continuing to recognize our dependence, our childlike dependence upon the Lord. And, I mean, when I said she nails it, she really does. But it reminded me that our son John, our grown-up son John, our adult son John, was home with us in between jobs. Some dependence doesn't go away, does it?
Not, no matter how old they get.
Right.
Hey, we have one more little piece of feedback here from Becky Steffens. Hi, Deacon Tom and Dee. Thank you. I just got back from vacation and found my special prize waiting for me. What a wonderful surprise. I'm anxious to listen to the CD. I love the Divine Mercy. And the sweet treat is perfect, too. God bless you both. You certainly bring many blessings to me.
Well, thank you so very much, Becky. And I think your husband just connected with me on Facebook. Glad to have you.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, good. Well, that's where we are right now in our show on dependence, the right kind of dependence, and we'll be back.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Justin Stroh. Jesus Christ said that St. John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived. That's a huge thing to say. I've often wondered, what did Jesus mean by such words? Of course, St. John the Baptist is also the humblest man that ever lived. He said, I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain on Jesus. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now I have seen and have testified that he is the Son of God. This is good news for you and me. We hear a very humble man recognizing that his own cousin is the Son of God. How many of us could recognize our relatives to be like, even like God? We know the sins of our relatives. That's just a part of being family. So this must mean that Jesus is without sin. St. John the Baptist is able to look at him and say, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. One who ranks ahead of me, St. John the Baptist says. What a grace to be in that kind of a state. I think our Lord is calling us to witness to the truth of who he is in the truth of who we are. to not be afraid of where we are, our own limitations, as we are called to spread and defend the faith. So let us go forth in this new evangelization as we are called and gifted by Christ.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for preparing us for the Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Dear, I know that you've pulled a Vitaminute that will speak about dependence, where we should place our dependence. I want to thank our guest, Deacon Greg Doyle. It was wonderful to have a brother deacon on and his wife.
Wish I would have been here.
I know. And, you know, they both spoke about how it's not a one-person ministry. It really is a ministry for two people, and you know that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, we want to give thanks also to Teresa Doyle Nelson for sharing her dad and for sharing a Catholic vitamin. And we want to thank Denise, and as we just heard, we had Justin with us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Praise God. Why don't we are you ready with both the Vita Scrabble and the
Vitaminute?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Vita Scrabble for next time. Vitamin E.
E.
Ends with N.
Oh.
14 letters. Long one.
We might have to do something special for if someone guesses that one. So do Vita Scrabble. Send in your guesses for the word, 14 letters long, catholicvitamins@gmail.com, or our feedback number, 206-350-3789. And just take a guess, and we'd love to put your name in one of Dee's baskets. Oh, speaking of baskets, we're going to have a basket for a drawing yet another week for Dawn Marie Roeder's book.
That's right.
It doesn't end here. So, what else is going on? You've got,
I don't have anything else.
No other feedback?
Nope, we did it all.
All right. Why don't you do your Vitaminute?
All right. We'll end with these wise words from Catherine Doherty once again. We fear the future. We fear illness and the loss of security. We fear what people may say. We fear being different from the herd. We walk the earth in fear. Needless fears keep us from living a full life in Christ.
That's from the daily meditation book, Grace in Every Season. I must have 75 or 100 dog-eared pages in that. If you'd like to get something that would be a great shot in the arm for everyday reading, find the book Grace in Every Season at Madonna House Publications.
I remember years ago, I wanted to put that book in the guest room. I thought it would be a nice thing for guests to pick up.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want your dog-eared copy, so we had to buy another one.
Well, that's it. May the Holy Spirit come upon you and yours, and may He set your heart on fire. Depend on Jesus, and it'll all work out. Bye.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.